chapter 16, verse 26. We've been reading it for the last 3 weeks. We're still reading this. And I want to say to you, this is something that's really on my heart. Because this is the thing that I've been trying to drive home in my own spirit. And the thing that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach all of His people, that if you would be a believer, you will be an obeyer. And this scripture says this. It says, but now is manifested, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the eternal God has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith. This is to lead to the obedience of faith. What the Word of God is for, what the preaching of the Word is for, what the commandments are for, are to lead us to the obedience of faith, or the obedience of trusting. If you trust, you will obey. Trusting, believing, and obedience are connected. You can't have one without the other. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You remember that? Well, that song was right. That old hymn is absolutely right. There's no other way to be happy in the Messiah than to trust and obey. Those who say they trust and don't obey are deceiving themselves. Listen to me. I'll say it again. I know it doesn't make you feel like shouting hallelujah. But those who say, I trust God, I believe God, but they don't obey God, they're deceiving themselves. We ended last week with this statement. Let me say it again today. God wants to bless you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God wants to pour out on you physical blessings. God wants to pour out on you mental and societal blessings. God wants you to be blessed in every way. You don't believe that? Look at the man that we call the father of our faith. Who was that?
Abraham.
Abraham, the father of our faith. And we say, but we want to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. Well, what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do? He believed God. And you know, people have taken that and they've said, well, Abraham will be just believe. That's all he had to do. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed. Yes, he did. Abraham believed. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham. Amen? By faith. By trust, Abraham. When he was called. Say, when he was called.
When he was called.
He was called. Who called him? God. What did God say to Abraham? He said, Abraham. Isn't that the way God talks? Abraham, Abraham. You've all heard it. I should have gotten a live mic to do that, shouldn't I? Got my baritone voice roaring through there. Why did he say it twice? Why does God always say Abraham, Abraham? Because men don't listen the first time, right? But God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your home. And I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Say, obeyed.
Obeyed.
So here was. He was called. And what had to happen in between? He believed God. Because he... How do we know he believed? Because he obeyed. You know, it's very, very simple. If you think about it. If you really believe something, you won't go contrary to it. You'll obey it. If God says in His Word, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And you turn around and say, man, I've got to save, save, save if I'm going to have anything. If I'm going to have anything, I'm going to have to charge it. I'll charge it up right now so I can have. But God says, give and it shall be given. But you know, people don't really believe it. I made this statement once. It's a dangerous statement because people, come back on you with this. But I made this statement one time. If we really believed, give and it shall be given unto you, we'd do like the woman in the Bible who, when she was told that she only had a little bit of oil and she was supposed to go get some containers, remember what she did? She borrowed them. She went out and borrowed them because she really believed the word that the prophet spoke to her. And you know how much oil she got? Every container she believed for. But you know what? The minute we got to the last container and filled it, the oil stopped. If we really believed it, if you really believed it, you'd be borrowing money to give. Now I say that's dangerous, because if you do that in the flesh, you're just going to owe a lot of money. But if you really believed it, you could borrow and give, and it would be given unto you how? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. If you really believed it. If you trusted for it. If you acted upon it. When you trust, you obey. Say that, put it in first person. When I trust, I obey. Trust and obey. So Abraham trusted. What did he trust? He will do what God says, even without understanding. Oh, people, get this down. Sometimes you got to do what God says, even without understanding. Do you know that? Sometimes when God says something, I mean to tell you, think about this. God says, somebody hits you on the left cheek, give him your right one also. Right. There's nothing natural about that, is there? But if you really trust God and you do it, even though my understanding says I'm going to lean into a left hook, right, I'm going to do that, right? No. I'm going to do what God says. And when I do what God says, I don't know how, but I know that when God says something, He never says it to tear me down. He always says it to build me up. Obedience. When you trust, you obey. By the way, if you come here today and you say, man, I just came here to get my ears tickled. I needed to hear how good I am. You came to the wrong church. We're not going to preach a message like that. But I am going to preach a message of tremendous hope to you. Because I believe that when people obey God, they can't fail. I really believe that with all my heart. And I'm going to just tell you, you're going to have some contradictory circumstances come at you during this time when you're believing God. Abraham had contradictory circumstances, didn't he? But Abraham went not knowing where he was going, the Bible says. Not knowing, he went out not knowing whither he went. That's understanding God only a little bit. What did he understand? It was God. That's God talking to my heart. How do I believe he really spoke? I didn't make that clear. I don't really believe God speaks in a deep baritone voice necessarily. I believe he speaks in a still small voice, and I believe that very likely that's the way Abraham heard him. In the inner man, it became an insistent knowing that this Yahweh God wanted him to go. And he went, not knowing. So he was called. Say he was called. He obeyed, but he didn't understand completely, did he? He didn't understand completely. Failure to obey. What is that? Huh? It's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. You mean it's not just a problem? You mean it's not just a stage I'm going through? You mean God won't wink at it and say, well, he's just dust. He doesn't understand. We do that with our children sometimes. Sometimes we tell our children something and they do something and we kind of wink at it. Well, they're little. Listen, the Bible says that rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. It started in you when you were young. Rebellion's bound in the heart of a child. It's not cute. When a two-year-old stands up and says, no, that's not cute. And when he gets to be 12, you'll know it's not cute. There's nothing cute about it. If I was on television, I might not be able to say this safely, but I'll just say it right here loudly today. Tan their little hide. The rod of correction will drive it far from them, the Scripture says. It's not cute to allow disobedience. This is what's going on in our world today. Thank you, Dr. Spock. Just let them go. It's just a stage. Let them express their personality develops. Yeah, you know what kind of personality they get too. Spelled with four letters. B-R-A-T. Brat. Don't allow it. Don't put up with it. Don't put up with it in yourself. Failure to obey indicates a lack of trust. What is the opposite of faith?
Fear.
What?
Fear.
Fear. Not unbelief, but fear. Why? Because if you don't have something to trust in, you are in a fearful place. If you haven't got your trust fixed on God, you're in a fearful place. And so we don't want to allow disobedience in ourselves, because when we do, when we allow ourselves to disobey, to walk out of faith, and a failure to obey shows lack of faith, when we allow ourselves to do that, we open the door to fear. Where does fear come from? Where? The dark side, right? It comes from Hasatan. Hasatan brings fear. If you walk in fear, I want to tell you something. You need deliverance. Now, don't go getting flaky on me and think that I'm saying you have to roll around on the floor to get delivered. But if you walk it in fear, you need deliverance from it. Deliverance comes sometimes very, very low-key. But it comes through replacing that fear with faith, with trust, believing God. And it'll show up in your obedience. So if you find yourself always doing what you don't want to do, knowing better, but going ahead and doing it anyhow, going ahead through the same things, walking in that insanity of doing the same things over and over and over and over again, and thinking someday things are going to turn out right, they're not going to, because God, listen, this is what we said last week to end it, God cannot bless disobedience. Do you believe that? God cannot bless disobedience. Now, mercy? Yes. Grace? Yes. But not a blessing. If it wasn't for grace and mercy, we'd all be consumed. There wouldn't be a one of us here on the earth. If it wasn't for grace and mercy, Yeshua would have said, I'm not going to that cross. I'm going back to heaven. That would have been the end of us. You would have seen nothing but a cinder where the earth used to be. You know that? That great heat would have come with all of us still on it. Would have been the end. Not a one of us would be here today. But you see, when you say, oh, I trust God, I'm trying, but I trust Him, and then turn around and disobey Him, you are deceived. Deceived. That's exactly what James 1:22 says. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. You don't want to be deceiving yourself. We said last week as we talked about this that disobedience is equal to rebellion. That's what it is. What does rebellion look like? Do you think of rebellion being something that's very overt? Or can it be very beneath the surface? Rebellion can be just an ignorance. Ignoring thing. Have you ever told a little child, do something, and they just act like they don't hear you? Huh? You have, haven't you? I could tell. At least seven times over, right? We've all done it. But have you ever done it to God? It's rebellion. It's rebellion. What does it look like? Well, Zephaniah 3:2, God speaking to in Zephaniah to the rebellious city. And he said this about it. He said, she obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, and she trusted not the Lord. She drew not near to her God. That's what rebellion looks like. Not obedient, not corrected, not trusting, not drawing near. That's what it looks like. And you know, when you rebel against, and listen, rebellion can be in all of our hearts. Remember when it was bound in your heart at the beginning? Well, it probably all hadn't been driven out yet. I'm going to just caution you about some things, because I hear people do this quite often. Well, I'm not really big on the police. Cops, they make me mad. They treat people bad, you know. And especially if it's me, they treat me bad. That's rebellion. Be cautioned. Be cautioned. It doesn't have to just start with God, see. God's put people here on this earth for us to be submitted to. Did you know that? We're supposed to be submitted to one another. Like, I'm not going to listen to anything you say. That's rebellion. Think about it. You know, there's a lot of problems between churches because we rebel against each other. I remember a few years ago, there were a whole group of preachers that got into one little area of teaching, and boy, it just separated them from the whole charismatic body. They just got separated. They called them a name. They called them the boys from such and such a place. I'm not going to go into it today, and I'm not going to name them at all, but you know, here was the thing. These people were men of God that had walked side by side us for a long time, and we loved and worshiped together and taught together and listened to their teaching, and all of a sudden, they knew nothing. I'm not going to listen to them anymore. They made a mistake in this area, as far as I was concerned. I'm not listening to them anymore. You know, they probably could have taught us something about that area if we'd have been willing to listen to them. Because usually, in the middle of some error, there's a nugget of truth. We do that with each other. The messianics do that with the non-messianics. I'm not going to listen to them. The non-messianics do that with the messianics. Why, those guys are kooks. They're crazy. They go around wearing beanies and strings on their belt. They're nuts. I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. But you know what? There's the truth's here between. And this is what we're looking at. The truth's here. It's right there. I'm not going to cast out the truth just because of some little disagreement. That's rebellion. I'm cautioning you now about the way rebellion gets in. We rebel against the government. If you find that when someone talks about the government, first thing you say is, it's all corrupt. Well, there's corruption in it. But it's not all corrupt. Politics. There's nothing good about politics. Do you know what politics means? What does politics mean? What does it mean? What does it really mean? Where does this word polity? Where does that come from? People. People. Not necessarily polite, but it has to do with people. The working of people, the inner workings of people, the political. Now, it all obviously has connotations, and some of the connotations, you know, we recognize there's corruption. But you know, there's corruption in everything. You know, watch out, there's corruption in everything. But you know, this attitude that we get into, that's a rebellious attitude, because the Bible says that God put the government here as His servant. Governments are a servant of God. Those in charge of government will have to answer to God for the way they served. Amen? But He put Him here to protect us. So I want to caution you about rebellion. What does it mean to rebel? When we say someone's rebellious, what does that mean? Rebel. He rebels. What does he do? What do you do when you rebel? Remember now, rebellion, that's right, reject truth. What else? Disobey. What do you do when the sign on the highway says 5-5? And you think 6-5 looks better? What are you doing to that sign? You're disobeying it. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. I thank God for speed, what do they call that? The speed control. What? No, the little control. Cruise control. I thank God for cruise control. Because every car I have just wants to go faster than it's supposed to. So I find out what the right speed is and I put it on there and I leave it there. That's the way I keep from doing it. Because I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to walk in rebellion. Now, you may say, well, I followed you one time, Pastor, and I got to tell you, your cruise control wasn't working. And I'm going to tell you, you're probably right. You know, it's probably happened. But I really, praise God, I try to stay on the speed limit. Henrietta will tell you that things have changed in the last years, that I try to stay on the speed limit, don't I? And, you know, it's not always easy because sometimes I'm the slowest guy on the highway. Isn't that right? And, you know, there is something to say about flowing with the traffic. I have to tell you that there's a safety about that. But I still watch it, and, you know, going down off of going down off of Genesee into Denver, I just catch the right lane and drive with the trucks. Because that's the safest way to go. Most of the time, that's what I do. I get over there and drive there, and, you know, I'll try to watch if they're up ahead and I see them doing 45 and I can do 55, well, I'll get out in the other lane and go around them. But I try not to do that. Because just because everybody else does it doesn't make it right. Because guess what? Many, many people are going to do that you don't want to do. What? And go to hell. I don't want to go with them, do you? I don't want to be a part of what they're doing. So, it's not good to say everybody else is doing it. So the Bible says in Isaiah 1:3, get this. The Bible says, the ox knows his master's owner, and the donkey knows his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people doth not consider. Now tell me what that means. An ox knows his owner. Is that true? That's a fact. If you've ever worked on a farm, man, I'll tell you what. Cattle know the voice. Henrietta's dad used to milk. Bob used to milk. You get a strange voice in the barn, and it can cause problems, can't it? I don't know how it works nowadays, but I know back in the older days, you know, they used to keep a radio on around the cows, kind of soothe them a little bit. And if somebody that was unknown to those cows came walking in there and making noise and stuff, it caused problems in the milk parlor. Why? Because cows know their master's voice. You ever have a horse? Horse knows your voice. Does a dog know his owner? Does your dog know that you're the owner? That's why most of the time people who own a dog say, oh, that dog won't bite. Why is that? Because the dog knows his owner and he doesn't bite his owner. It doesn't mean he won't bite, does it? So my father-in-law told somebody one time, he went up on their porch and they said, oh, that dog won't bite. And he says, I know he won't bite you, but put him in just the same. He didn't trust him. Dogs know their owners. Donkeys know, this is the place I belong. This is where I eat. Isn't that right? But Israel, say Israel.
Israel.
Who is Israel? Who? We're Israel. We're Israel. It says here, Israel doth not know. This is rebellious Israel, isn't it? Speaking of rebellious Israel. Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. What does that mean? They don't know their master. They don't know their owner. They don't know their God. Yeshua said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, my sheep know my voice because I'm the good shepherd. The voice of another they will not hear. But God says in Isaiah 1:3, the rebellious Israel doesn't know my voice. How does he know they don't know his voice? They disobey. They are rebellious. They're walking in their own ways. Say this with me. Say, I know who my God is. I know who my God is. I will obey Yahweh. Praise God. You know, you need to say that a lot. I've been saying it this morning. It's been quickened to me. The things that you say over and over and over again that are the Word of God, that are in line with the Word, bring faith. Faith comes by hearing. So when you say, I will obey God, which is the thing He commands you to do, it is compliant with His Torah. When you say that over and over and over again, you begin to fix it in you. Let me say this to you. Begin to say it about others. You got a child that's rebellious? Don't say, you're a rebellious child. No. Don't ever say anything that you don't want to happen. Say only what you desire. Remember what Yeshua said? What things soever you desire when you pray. So what do you pray? Things I desire. I don't pray for things that I don't desire. That's why I don't like to complain to God. Because complaining to God is pointing up my problems, right? Pointing up the problem, speaking the problem. I don't want to speak the problem. I want to speak the answer. I want to say what He says. Why? Because the Scripture tells us in Romans 4:17 that God calls things which be not as though they were. He calls things which be not as though they were. So you got a rebellious child. Child rebels against you. Disobedience. You say, come here. I have to talk to you. Sit down here. I want to talk to you. Here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about your behavior. That's the improper behavior. But I want to say about you, you are an obedient child. You will obey me, won't you? Yes. Yes, I will. Begin to speak what you desire. You are obedient. You fear God. You'll do what God says. Don't you dare say, you rebellious little brat. You'll never amount to anything. Speak those things that are not as though they were. Do you know God's doing that with you all the time? God calleth those things which be not as though they were. He calls me a mighty man of God. He calls you a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God, a believing, obeying, walking in the Spirit. That's what He calls you. Because that's what He's seeing. That's what His desire for you is. And so you begin to line up with that and say the same thing. Say it continually. I know who God is and I will obey Him. I know Yahweh. I will obey Him. We get up in the morning, I'm going to obey You, God. I told you about Colleen last week. That blessed my heart. I'm just an earthly daddy. She said, I will obey You, Daddy. I will obey You. And you know what she did? She did obey me. She did pay attention to what I said, but she spoke it over herself. I will obey You. Speak it over others. Speak it over your church. This church is a church that's filled with people who hear God, who walk in the Spirit, who are led by the Spirit. This congregation is a group of people that love God with their heart and their soul and their being. Speak it over them. This church is a group of people who prosper in everything that they put their hand to. They walk in the light as He is in the light. They have fellowship one with another. That's the kind of things I want you to speak over this congregation. It's the kind of things I speak over this congregation. You know, it's real easy to start picking little things out we don't like. I don't like the way Dan combs his hair. Man, that hairstyle of Dan's, you know, that, wow. He ought to be more bouffant, you know. He ought to get that up in there. See, we laugh at it. But you know, the little things we criticize in people are just that silly. Did you know that? Become judgmental about things we... No! We begin to see Dan is a vital part of this congregation. Hallelujah. He ministers to this congregation. He has a spirit that blesses. Amen. Speak those things you want to see, not those things you wish you didn't. Call things which be not as though they were. Amen? Speak it out. Scripture says in Isaiah 1:19, just following down from 3, which says the ox knows who his owner is. The ass knows his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. If you drop on down to verse 19, it says, but if you be willing and obedient. If you be willing and obedient, say willing.
Willing.
Willing. I will. I will obey you. What does that make you? Willing. I will. If you be willing and obedient, what will you do? Eat the good of the land. Praise God. How many of you think that God's trying to put everybody on a permanent fast? No, he's not. He says, I want you to eat the good of the land. I want you to eat good things. Is there a place for fasting? Oh my, yes. But you know, that's not the norm. Fasting is a part of the lifestyle, but it's not a part of just not eating all the time. He wants us to eat the good of the land. But look what 20 says. If you refuse and rebel, so obedient is part of willingness. Refusing is part of rebellion. I won't. I won't do it. It said, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We read it last week. We read it again this week. Job 36 says, if they obey, 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. I like to say they'll die and not even know why they died. Think about it. Say, it pays to obey. Say it like you really mean it. Say it like you really mean it. It pays to obey. Now let me add another one to you. It costs to rebel. Well, that's a fact. It pays to obey, but it costs to rebel. To rebel, I ask you what it means. It means to disobey. But there's another thought to this. It has to do with opposition. I oppose. Have you ever known anybody that was just kind of given to opposing? That just kind of was their personality. They had a personality that opposed everything. If somebody told them that, it was black, they said, no, it's white. Have you ever been around people like that? And if you get to talking the word with them, you bring up one scripture and they're quick to bring up something that they think refutes it. I have it happen even in preaching. You know, sometimes people are waiting. Now, it's all right to drash. It's all right for the midrash to take place. But you know, there are times that people have to stop and think, is the thing that I'm going to say going to edify? Is it going to help the understanding of the hearer? What's that called when we walk like that? That's called walking in love. Caring that other people hear and are blessed. You know, there's always a scripture you can bring up. And this is why there are so many different bents on teaching. It's because people, they believe things different ways. But a lot of it just has to do with opposition. I listen to some of these guys on TV. I don't listen to them often, but I've listened to some of them a few times, where their whole program is to expose some other group they don't agree with. Christian groups. Did you know entire books have been written about Christian groups that people don't agree with? Books to expose, an expose. What are we supposed to be doing? Let's see. Go into all the world and expose sin wherever you find it. Right? Go into all the world and point out everybody's fault and everybody's error. That'll bring them all to the Lord, won't it? Go into all the world and proclaim the good news. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
But we're not doing it all the time that way, are we? There's a spirit of opposition, or the spirit of anti. The spirit of anti. And I believe we all, if you stop for a second, you know where that spirit of anti comes from, don't you? In the Garden of Eden. But God said, we shall not eat of that fruit. Hath God said? What is that? That's a spirit of anti. God knows the day you eat that fruit, you shall be as gods. spirit of anti. God said, don't do it. Did he really mean it? Spirit of anti. People that always want to catch every shade. Listen, in the scripture, there are many different sides of teaching, right? You go up one side of a mountain and you see one path, right? One trail. You go up another side, you see a different trail. So it is with the Word of God. Every truth about that particular part of the Word isn't on one side of the teaching. It goes up different sides. We have to take it, go over and over and over it to understand it. We were studying Romans 7 last week, and Henrietta said after we read that, she says, man, that's confusing. I said, it is, isn't it? But what does that mean? When we find something confusing in the Word, what do we do with it? It's confusing. I ain't going to read that again. That's confusing. Leave it over there. No.
You search for understanding.
Right. You read it and you say, Lord, I don't understand a thing about that. Help me. Gives you a little bit about that much. You say, woo-hoo, I got it all. And then all of a sudden you say, well, what about this? I don't understand that. A little bit more. It takes time. It takes years. It takes years sometimes to get that kind of revelation. But you know what? We meditate. And he shows us. We don't just become anti. Martin Luther read the book of James, James' letter. Martin Luther said, let's take it out of the Bible. That's not inspired writing. He actually said that at the beginning. He recanted later. It's easy to do. Henrietta was reading somebody about Romans 7, and they said, every time you come to that, just detour around it. Just go on. Don't even stop there. I've had people tell me, don't spend any time in the Old Testament. Don't spend any time in the Tanakh. That's for Israel. That's not for us. Forget the law. No, I can't forget it. It's God's Word. He never changes. He never changes. It pays to obey. Stay away from the spirit of anti. Stay far away. Adam rebelled. God said, don't eat. But that spirit of rebellion was in the garden. Hath God said? The Bible says Adam ate it. He rebelled is exactly what he did. He took on the nature of the one he obeyed. Satan. He became rebellious. Satanic. God despises this spirit. What do you say that? God despises the spirit of rebellion. God hates it. God despises it. Doesn't hate the people. He hates the spirit. You can hate it too. Somebody said, I don't hate anything. You can hate evil. You can hate rebellion. And listen, what happens when people do just what Adam did after he disobeyed? What did he do? First he hid, and then he started to make excuses. First he hid, and then he started to make excuses. And excuses are a product of deceit. Did you know that? We start making excuses, they come out of a deceitful spirit, a deceitful heart. In fact, we know that Adam knew better because 1 Timothy 2:14 says Adam was not deceived. How many of you knew that? 1 Timothy says Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Does that mean Adam didn't have a transgression? No, it means Adam was in worse shape than the woman was. Because Adam was not deceived, why did he do it? Because the woman did it and he loved the woman. And you know what? He loved the woman more than he loved God. He obeyed the woman. But he wasn't deceived. He knew better. That's a bad place to be. That's open rebellion. That is a committing of treason against the Most High God. It's what Adam did. He committed treason. And you know what he did when he committed treason? He gave the authority that God had given to him in the earth to subdue the earth and multiply in it. He gave that spirit, he gave that authority over to Satan. Yeshua had to take it back. Hosea 6:7 in the New Living Bible says, but like Adam, you broke my covenant and rebelled against me. Adam's not the only one did it. We did it. We broke the covenant. We obeyed again. We disobeyed, rebelled against God. Genesis 3:17, it says, and to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit. What did he do? He obeyed his wife. He obeyed his wife rather than God. He says, because you did that, Ate the fruit I told you not to eat, I've placed a curse on the ground, and all your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. Wow. Rebellion's a dangerous thing. How far do you want to be from rebellion? Don't even get close to it. Let me tell you where rebellion starts. Starts with stubbornness. You know people are proud of being stubborn. I've had people just stick their chest out and tell me, well, I'm kind of stubborn. You gotta convince me I'm stubborn. Man, I wouldn't for a minute be proud of being stubborn. Stubborn's bad. Stubborn's the beginning of rebellion. In fact, it may be just as bad as rebellion by itself, but they go hand in hand. In fact, if you read in 1 Samuel 15:23, when Samuel's talking to Saul, he says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So stubbornness is bad. Idolatry? Witches don't live. Idolaters don't live, right? It's a sure way to die. Got to watch that. There's another word that comes out in King James that I kind of like because the definition of it, when you really look it up, really tells you about this, and that is that word froward. You ever read the King James Bible and see someone's froward? Not forward, froward. F-R-O-W-A-R-D. And in Proverbs 3:32, it says, "For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." A froward is an abomination. What does froward mean? One habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. Disposed to it. Disposed to it. It's a natural inclination. Man, we need to cast down those kind of inclinations, don't we? Make sure it's not in you. Praise God. You know, I admire Jonathan. He works under and with so many different ministries and people. You know, and you know, some of the things that he does when he works probably here or there or elsewhere probably aren't the things that he has strong convictions about, but he's there to minister and to help. And I admire the way he does it because, you know, there's things that I know that people demand of him that aren't in his heart to do, but he does them not because it's my conviction. He does them because the person that he's working under has that conviction, and therefore he yields to it. He yields to it. We need to be that way. We need to be that way. There's probably a lot of things I do here. Maybe he'd say, "Wow, you know, I don't know, you know." But he does them. He's always asking me, "Is there something I can do to make this better?" Maybe not just in those words, but is there something I can do to work better with you? I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, it music's not my forte. I love to sing, but music's his forte. He understands music better than I do, but he wants to know how it'll flow the best with what we do here. I appreciate that. Because it's real easy when you think or know something better than someone else does, and sometimes we do, and we sit under them. It's real easy if we don't watch it to get disenchanted and rebellious about it. That's not to say you have to stay in the same place where you started out. Sometimes God puts us in a place for a while for teaching, moves us around. That's not rebellion at all. But if we get to the place where we can't take correction from that person because we disagree in some area, or we maybe even know they're wrong in an area, then we're in danger. We can be in danger. Don't be froward. Don't be disposed to be disobedient or oppose, or to be generally anti. I don't want to be an anti-person. I don't want to look at everything that goes on in the world today and say, I'm just anti, boy. How many of you were alive in the 60s? Some of you were just barely alive in the 60s, and you don't really remember it, and yet you've been affected by it. Most everybody has been affected by what happened in this country in the 60s because there, in fact, let me just tell you something. Universities teach rebellion and disobedience. Now, that's not going to make people real happy with me, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not real strong on the university scene. I went to one. I didn't get sucked in too bad, but I did get sucked in some. And there was a spirit there. During the time I was there, they were beatniks. I had beatnik professors. And you know, subtly they used to question God. They used to read little things, supposedly, you know, like there was one they called, I think, Heavenly Discourse or something like that, that they'd read to us, that was God questioning himself almost and making fun of himself. And they'd read those things to us. But you know, during that time, then this hippie movement grew up. And the hippie movement, boy, that's honored nowadays. You know, people look back on that and think that was great. One of the presidential candidates wants to make a big memorial to Woodstock. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? A memorial to one of the most rebellious events in the face of the nation. One of the most ungodly events on the face of the nation. But that period of time, there were a group of people that were anti. What were they anti to? You name it. You name it. They'd carry a sign for anything. They were even anti-bras. That's right. Anti. Did they have any answers? Not one. Some of them are in politics today and they still don't have any answers. That's a fact. Because they still carried that old rebellious attitude with them when they came in. Just part of a nothing's good. Everything's bad. But I'm going to tell you something. God hates rebellion. And if God hates it, I hate it. How about you? Say, I hate rebellion. Amen. I don't believe some of you even do. You didn't even get it out. Say it again. I hate rebellion. I'm going to tell you, you need to stay far away. Don't get within 100 miles of it. You see rebellion going on someplace, you hear someone talking like that, you see someone doing something like that, don't get close to them. Especially don't listen to their words. Not only does faith come by hearing, but so does rebelliousness and fear come by hearing. People are incited by those things that they hear. Stay away from words that influence toward rebellion. What does obey mean? To trust and submit to the authority of. Do you understand submission? God says in Proverbs 6:12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. What is that? Anti-mouth. Frowardness, anti-negativity is in his heart. He deviseth mischief. He continually soweth discord. Have you ever known the people that are that way love to preach it? Love to preach it. Love to preach it. Love to preach it. Why? They're sowing discord. That's what a contentious person is. Somebody that's against everything and then wants to get everybody else believing like he does. Have you ever heard an atheist preach? I've heard atheists preach. And I asked one time, I said, why in the world would you want to fill anybody's mind with something as negative as what you believe? Why would you want to do that? You believe nothing, you believe no God. You're negative about everything. Why in the world would you want everybody else to believe like that? That's negative. That's wrong. Sowing rebellion. How does God see rebellion? We talked about it. Does God look at his little children and say, oh, cute. That's what some parents do when their kids rebel. They think it's cute. They think it's cute. Let me just read to you what God says about rebellion. Let's just see if you think it. I'm just about done here. It says, if a man have a stubborn, this is Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Now notice, it doesn't say they don't obey the voice of God. It says he won't obey the voice of his father or of his mother. Now it is understood that father and mother are supposed to be teaching their children in the ways of the Lord. We know that from the Shema, don't we? That's part of the Shema. Talk about them. Teach them diligently unto your children. But it says here, he will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them. What is chastened? Corrected. When they're training him, he won't hearken. Verse 19, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn. He's stubborn. He's rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Did you know gluttony and drunks are rebellious people? Gluttons and drunks are rebellious. It's a sign of rebelliousness. Because you know, in both cases, they're bad for you. If you continue to do them, it's rebellion. You need to cast it down. It says, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones. You say, what are you trying to get started here, Pastor? I'm not getting this started. I'm showing you what God thinks about rebellion. God says it's a serious matter. They shall stone him with stones. Well, that's going to kill him, isn't it? Yeah, it says so that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I want to ask you a question. Here's the word that God gave him. How many times do you know about that happening in Scripture? How many cases of actually happening was that? It was rare. Somebody said one time, capital punishment is no deterrent. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody told me I was going to get killed for doing something, I'd try not to do it, wouldn't you? I think I'd stay away from that. I think it's a tremendous deterrent. What I'm trying to show you was that God said this will put evil away from Israel, to have this known to you. And all of your children are going to know it. Now, by the way, I don't believe this is talking about a 2-year-old. Because if you couldn't handle a 2-year-old or even a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, you know, I believe it was after 13 at least that this would be going on. But we don't read about it happening very much, do we? It didn't have to happen. Why? Because people knew that God took it seriously. Nowadays, people wink at it. Nowadays, people think it's cute. But it's not cute. God says it's a capital offense. It's not just a stage they're going through. Right? It's capital. Who is the father of rebellion? Satan. Hasatan. The father of rebellion. He is the one that rebelled. Why is God so much against it? Think what it did to heaven. The rebellion. Did it cause problems in heaven? Yes. Did it cause problems in Eden? Yes. And what else has it caused problems for? All of mankind is plagued by what rebellion has done. And so God is against it. God's against it. This is a serious matter. In Jeremiah 28:15, said the prophet Jeremiah came unto Hananiah the prophet. Hananiah's been going around saying, Jeremiah told the children of Israel they were going to go into captivity. Hananiah came around and said, No, thus saith the Lord. Not that, not what he said, but here's what God says. And he shortened everything and made it a lot easier. Jeremiah went back to him. And he said these words. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion. Taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. I think God takes it serious. What do you think? In number 16, you remember when Korah and Dathan and Abiram said to Moses, hey, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. We think we ought to be priests too. We hear from God. God says, call them all together. So Moses called them, and some of them said, no, we're not going to come. He's the leader of the people. God says, that's all right. Just have everybody move back away from them. And the earth opened up and swallowed them. What does God think about rebellion? I could go on and on and on and show you what God thinks. Miriam rebelled against Moses. Was immediately smitten with leprosy. Immediately. Don't be even a little bit stubborn. A little bit of stubbornness leads to more. God wants good. God wants to do you good. He's looking to do you good. Don't let disobedience keep you from moving into the good things of God. Listen to me today. If there's some area in your life where you see this. As you've sat here today, if you haven't seen yourself and known that there needs to be adjustment in some place, I apologize to you. You should see some area. You should see some area that needs judging. You should see some area that needs correction and adjustment in your life. You should see that. If you don't see it, I apologize to you, and I ask God right now, show them, Father, exactly the areas in their life where things that they believe and attitudes of their heart are keeping them from moving into the full blessing of God. That's what I desire for everyone here, Father. I know I desire it so much, and I know that what I can desire is just a little bit compared to what you desire for your people. Great good. Great good. I pray for them today. I pray for them today. Andrew, put up Hebrews 13:17. I want you to see some things about how we're supposed to walk. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you see that? Whoever God puts over you, then we've got to stand in an area of submission to that, don't we? I mean, that's just like we're being under God. If God's put someone over us, then we have to act like it. Have to treat them that way. Put up 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That'd be the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, wouldn't it? Whether it be to the king as supreme, and then it goes on and on. And finally, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Does that minister to you? Those words minister to me. We're supposed to be a submissive group, a group that submits to truth, a group that submits to the Word of God. Why did you preach this today, Pastor? Because in this world, we're getting it from every side that the right way to act anymore is negative and rebellious. Did you know that? That's the way the world acts. I don't want you to act that way. I don't want to act that way. I want to be positive. Amen? But he say, I am a friend of God. Say, God is my friend. I love God. And I will obey Yahweh. Praise God.